The primary election day to decide the next mayor of Philadelphia is getting nearer. It is May 16th. Some are asking the candidates, what are you going to do for the arts in Philadelphia? WHYY's Peter Crimmins takes a look back at what past mayors have done for the arts sector.
Recently, musical celebrities gathered on South Broad Street to unveil their names on plaques embedded in Philadelphia's Walk of Fame. People like Broadway singer Leslie Odom Jr., actor and musician Kevin Bacon, local DJ Patty Jackson. Among them was former mayor Ed Rendell, who admitted he had no musical talent. He can neither play an instrument or sing.
I have a horrible voice. It sounds like a dying frog.
Nonetheless, Rendell was honored because when he was mayor, he pushed through the development of the Kimmel Center and the Avenue of the Arts. That's the portion of South Broad Street lined with theaters, restaurants, and concert halls. This happened in the 1990s when Rendell said Philadelphia was at, quote, the darkest day in its history. Downtown was all but abandoned at night, and the mayor attempted to boost the city's fortunes by investing in the arts.
But I had to deal with a $2.3 billion deficit. So I turned it over to the most competent person I've ever met in my life, Bill Clinton. No. Midge Rendell. And I said, dear, you need to take this under your wing and go with it.
So Rendell's wife at the time, Midge, set about making the Avenue of the Arts happen.
When we were starting, I said, you know, I'm going to get Ellen Casey, the wife of the governor. This is the power of women. I'm going to invite her to a luncheon. There were 8 women at the zoo in a luncheon. She went home and... thanks to Pillow Talk, Governor Casey agreed to send $94 million our way for Avenue of the Arts projects, and that's how we really got it started.
Of course, it's never that simple. It's politics, where the right pressure has to be put on the right people. Catherine Coates was the head of the Greater Philadelphia Culture Alliance at the time. She had to turn the head of Rendell's chief of staff, David L. Cohen.
David L. Cohen was supremely annoyed that we were distracting Rendell with the arts. He just thought it was a waste of time. He finally bought in when he realized that it was not just about the money, but it was about the image. It was about the how people feel. And that was all how Avenue of the Arts and the Philadelphia Cultural Fund happened. Ed Rendell decided that it was important.
Rendell has sometimes been called the arts mayor for his efforts to make downtown an arts destination, but Coates said he wasn't really an arts lover.
Personally, he obviously prefers sports, and when he talks about sports, he's a much happier guy. It's not like Ed Rendell liked going to the ballet at all, but he understood the importance in a really meaningful way.
Other mayors in Philadelphia's past also turned to the arts. Harry Mackey was the mayor in 1928. He created the Municipal Bureau of Music to ensure people could listen to music throughout the city. The Bureau did things like donate thousands of radios to hospitals, playgrounds, and community centers. And he created a musical car. That's a modified truck that could drive anywhere to play music in public places for dancing and recreation. Unfortunately, the Bureau of Music only lasted about 3 years. It ended with the Great Depression. 1955, Mayor Joe Clark launched a citywide arts festival that branded Philadelphia as an arts destination. Reportedly, about 50,000 people attended. But the first art program to be permanently baked into the function of city government came during Mayor Richardson Dilworth's administration. In 1959, during a decade when City Hall first established a city planning department, Dilworth launched the Percent for Art program, or 1% of the cost of a municipal construction project or a private development on city land must be spent on public art. It's the longest-running city art program. It's been adopted by other cities around the country. Some say they do it better. A 2009 study of Philadelphia public art done by Penn Praxis says without support for public art from the mayor, the percent for art requirements can become negotiated and developers can get away with doing the absolute minimum or nothing at all. The first Office of Arts and Culture was established in City Hall in 1984 by Mayor Wilson Good. 20 years later, another mayor, John Street, eliminated it. But he created a new Office of Social Services, which oversaw various government departments like health, welfare, and prisons. He put Estelle Richmond in charge of it. Richmond wanted her people to work across their individual departments.
People were very divided into silos. Every department wanted to focus just on their piece.
The head of Mural Arts Philadelphia, Jane Golden, remembered getting a call from Richmond.
I remember her reaching out to me and saying, I'm a fan of Mural Arts, and I would like to make Mural Arts part of the Division of Social Services. And I saw myself as being very low on the food chain. I was like, you do? She called me into a meeting. I was with commissioners of these big departments, and she said to them, I believe in the power of art, and I believe art should be part of how all of you do business. I really credit Estelle and John Street for the huge growth in mural arts.
Richmond pushed her department heads to use art to improve health outcomes, for example, in after-school programs for kids, or to engage people returning from prison to reduce recidivism rates. After working for Mayor Street, Richmond went on to be welfare secretary for the state of Pennsylvania. Now she's back in City Hall, building a coalition of public, corporate, and foundational partners to curb gun violence. She hopes the next mayor, whoever it is, won't dismantle that work.
Philadelphia has this bad habit of a new mayor coming in, criticizing the old mayor, and throwing the baby out with the bathwater. In some cases, they've thrown out the baby, the bathwater, the bathroom, and half the house. This goal is to stop that.
Peter Crimmins, WHYY News.
This story is a part of Every Voice, Every Vote, a collaborative project of the Lenfest Institute for Journalism, with lead support provided by the William Penn Foundation. You can learn more by going to everyvoice-everyvote.org.